It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. We're going to do, I'm going to walk you through something today. You know, this is, you know, yesterday I was, I go away for just a few days, come back to the mess that is the news, and how can it not have an impact on you? I'm going to go ahead and have you walk a moment in my shoes and how we select what goes on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix. This is, you know, so you get an idea of what's important, not based on whatever. This is, I'm going to go ahead and go through some of the highlights on today's site and some of the things that are coming up today. This is how it works. There are Freedom's Phoenix staff that I can send an email to, and I'll go through anywhere from, you know, 1 to 2 dozen articles that I want, and I say, put these up in whatever order. I may give some comments and things that I want done, because I do it myself. I'm just so busy. So we have staff that can, you know, put these things up. So you'll see Freedom's Phoenix staff is, you know, generally stuff that I would put up, and I send it to them to put up so that, and I didn't want them, young people, to have their name associated with the posting, because this stuff sticks to you for like the rest of your freaking life. And depending on their political and religious proclivities, is that, do they want that associated with them? You know, do you want to have something about legalizing marijuana next to a guy that's, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, just starting college, and they do research on him 10 years from now and find all the posts, and they pick out the ones, aha, you posted this onto as his job. So we put it up, you know, just put your name, you know, Freedom's Phoenix staff, and then you're not associated with it. I can just send it to you, and you can just go put them up. So that's what that is. Now, generally, a lot of times, they'll go pick up stuff on their own and put it up, too. I'd be busy. I said, look, go find something. You know, go get the top dozen stories from your perspective as a young person. And, you know, I trust you. Yeah, go. Knock stuff out, man. Everybody gets to do it anyway. So this is how the page is populated with some of the stuff that I have influence on, but there are so many other people. I mean, it's dozens of other reporters that just, you know, put whatever they want up, things we find of interest. Sometimes if it's a duplicate, we don't put it up. You know, we pretty much don't censor the site. Now, I did get a call from Robert Sarver, which is the owner of the Phoenix Suns. I was leaving Wednesday morning last week, and I get a call from him in the morning, and I got a message, and I returned his call. And he was concerned that there was an article that was written on there by Dave Hodges. He was doing satirical comment, you know, kind of a fictitious discussion between him and Governor Brewer, but it went postal on the internet. And it just went everywhere, went viral. And he wanted to make sure that, hey, this is getting quoted as if this really happened. I need that thing. So we had, you know, Dave make sure it was clear it was satire. But, you know, we want to be accurate. And when we come back, I'm going to show you a bunch of the stuff that's going up that had big impact on me, and I'm sure it will you too. Scary stuff. You stay right there.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, we're going to do some headbanging today. Yeah, that's right. You know, this is how I feel. You know, grit the teeth, man. Let's get it on. Get it on, get it on, get it on, get it on. This is what's going on today. I am, lots of stuff. I go on a trip. I start my trip off Wednesday. I get a call from the owner of the Phoenix Suns, and he's concerned that, he was pretty cool about it. It's just, he was getting a lot of heat. And what Dave Hodges, one of the writers and a talk show host, was here in Arizona, was that posts on Freedom's Phoenix a lot. He's just like, man, he's such a hypocrite. You know, flip-flopping back and forth, you know, and I didn't even read it, don't care. I go, was it accurate? Did those quotes come out? Did you make it clear it was satire? You know, it's kind of this Hunter Thompson thing. You know, he was a very popular writer for Rolling Stone that passed away. He killed himself, at the peak of whatever. Because that's how he wanted to go out. But anyway, Hunter Thompson had a big impact on presidential politics for a lot of the late 60s and 70s and even in the 80s. And when 9/11 happened, he goes, yep, America's dead, we're done. He saw where this goes. And he used this kind of a fictitious satire. It was quoted by one of the presidential candidates, said it was the most inaccurate but truthful depiction of politics that he's ever read. You know, it's like, or untruthful but most accurate or something. Anyway, it wasn't based on facts. It was based on facts. You know what I mean? So they would kind of make up stuff to kind of tell the story. Well, he did the same thing to the Suns owner, and it was on Freedom's Phoenix, and it got a life of its own, and it just blew up all over the place. And they're like, look, come on. Hey, I'm not going to take it down. But I put on Dave on the conference call with him. I said, let's just take care of it right now. Make it clear it's satire. And it wouldn't have done him any better, any good anyway, because then it would have just went away. You wanted to leave the link and people go into it. They could see, yeah, okay, it was satire and so on. So that was the best way to handle that. And, we'll live. But it just goes to show the influence of just having ideas out there. Having access to just information that people will use and abuse, and we got to take some responsibility and make sure we're not fudging it, but I'll tell you one thing that's going on right now. In Mexico, there is the big drug war. We're talking 28,000 people have died as a result of the gangland killings and so on in Mexico. It's getting nasty. So who's covering it? Who's anybody that starts covering it or doesn't do what they want in the media, one side or the other, different cartels going to kill all the reporters, all the bloggers and everything. So there's one guy that he doesn't say who he is. They give kind of a little bit, on him. He's a college student that, you don't know if that's true or not. He has a Facebook and Twitter and but he's an anonymous blogger. So an anonymous Mexican blogger safely posts unfiltered news from country's raging drug war. It's called Blog del Narco. I guess that's blog of drugs or something. So what he's doing is posting all of the photos, all the cartels. It's just like a, free-for-all. They all send them all this stuff. Everybody does their iPhone video of the carnage of different candidates for governor there being assassinated. 28,000 people. Now, that's me, Associated Press here. So it's not unknown, but where do you really get the news? Where do you find out what's really going on in a country that is in meltdown? For a lot of reasons, and what really started this was them trying to crack down on the drug dealers, crack down on the cartels. Whenever I see a government do that, what they're really doing is cracking down on competition. I'm not kidding. You have you think that the corruption doesn't go all the way to the tippy top. Heck, how these guys get in office is a lot of, outside influences. So we have a, using the shiny badge, we're going to go out and control the drug trade. Well, of course, the cartels fight back, and a lot of times they're better armed. But, you know, the government, they don't care. You know, I order you to go out there and do battle with whatever. And they're infiltrated. They're finding out on this blog, you know, how certain prisons, wardens and guards, they will let some of the inmates out, give them their AK-47, go out and commit whatever murder or atrocity, and then come back, you know, in time for breakfast. So this kind of stuff is going on, but they you look throughout here and you don't see one thing. Decriminalization, legalization. All of this goes away the second you decriminalize drugs. They are expensive. They are black market. They are profitable because they are illegal. And I'll bet you the big decriminalization guy comes up, and, you know, we're not going to stop the war on and make it all kind of legal and so on. And boom, they wind up dead too, because nobody wants a drug war more than the drug lords and the government. There was a movie, it was called The Palermo Connection, and it was Jim Belushi played the part. I remember it was right about the time that John Belushi died of a drug overdose. He was not ready for primetime player on Saturday Night Live and a popular actor and comedian and so on. Well, he has a brother, Jim Belushi, that's gone on to have his own career. And Jim played a candidate for mayor in New York. And what was happening, this had to be maybe in the late 80s or early 90s or something. I just happened to see it, you know, at the video store. I just got it because it seemed like it might be Jim Belushi. Yeah, what the heck, you know, I'll give it a shot. Very interesting. You can tell why they didn't push this movie. He was running for mayor on the concept that eliminate the drug war by legalizing. You know, at all the polls, people behind him and so on. And who wanted to explain it to him? They took him to Palermo, which is, I don't know, Italy, Sicily, whatever it is. And they taken it, yeah, explain it to you. Because he was of Italian descent and had connect, people knew what was what. He understood. And he said, let me explain it to you. We need it illegal. That's where we make all our money. That's why we have the lifestyle that we wish to continue. What are you going to do about it? So he finally, it goes through the election, and he declares the drug war ended, and I'm done. Boom, he's assassinated at the end of the movie. We are in a revolutionary time. And it's for so many obvious reasons, but it's not being told. Even in the AP report of this blog, they never talk about, you know, the decriminalization or what they're even saying on the blog. They're talking about the effect of the blog, not what they're saying. Why? With Google Translator, you go to it. You know, it's real simple. It's called... you know, let's see, Blog Del Narco, blogdelnarco.com. Go. And you hit Google Translator, and you can translate to Spanish into English, and you can read what's going on in the carnage in the street. 28,000 people killed in this drug war that's going on just south of our border right now. And your big SB 1070 thing? Who do you think it is that comes up here to work? It's like the worker people. I mean, you know, I wish to work. You know, and all the drug kidnap crap, that's because of the laws. Ever cross anybody's mind? And then SB 1070 did nothing about the border. Not a single law enforcement, troop, funding, nothing. Nothing. Nothing to have anything to do with what we're seeing right here. And you would think if there's going to be carnage on the border, there might be, you know, well, okay, we see a, you know, compelling interest in us not being invaded and dying with actual bad guys with guns. You know, that might be a reason to go down to the border. Heck no. That's not what it's about. You know, you go to the front page of Freedom's Phoenix, anonymous Mexican blogger safely post unfiltered news from country's raging drug war. You can go there, read it, you know, see what's up. Now, one thing I definitely want to get into, and we will as the show goes on today, is drugging our drinking water. We're going to play a clip from someone that's advocating this. You know, this is, you know, here we go. The propaganda started. And I got an email from the water department here in Phoenix. Now we're starting, you know, they know who I am. Like, come on, man. You guys don't make this a story that you guys aren't going to be supplying the information. Because, I mean, you know, you really want to play, really? I mean, not that I wouldn't enjoy it, but I mean, you know, come on, do your job. So they sent me the form they want me to fill out of exactly the questions we're going to ask. Well, we'll go over that with you. You know, what questions might we ask? And what have we already found out just by us saying, you know, here we come, and already crazy stuff has been filtered to me. I'm going to share it with you. You stay right there.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
They are. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. You know, this is a time we're going to be talking about this for the rest of our lives. You know, this is going to be a time that we're going to be, you know, I don't know, sitting around a campfire back in the day. Didn't you know where were you in? You know, and what do we have? Some things, all kinds of crazy stuff. Fannie and Freddie reform. Treasury Department holds all-star conference to discuss ailing lenders. The lenders. You know, the banks, we got to take care of them. You know, a conference Tuesday at Treasury Department is the first of many steps toward restructuring the nearly $11 trillion mortgage market. So far, rescuing mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac has cost the government more than $148 billion, which is a BS number. A heck of a lot more than that. That number is expected to grow. Yeah, you think? You know, Timothy Geithner pledged fundamental change. Fundamental rip me off. You know, you just know it's coming. You know, and this is just the stuff that's coming up. 10 signs the U.S. is becoming a third world country. Only 10? You know, I mean, you know, it's, wow. And you're just now getting the signs? You know, this is amazing. You know, one thing that is interesting, we have a story that's coming up later from Wired Magazine. The web is dead. Long live the internet. See, what a lot of people don't understand is that there is an enormous difference in how what you would perceive to be the internet is used. You have big band of it is in video. A lot of it's peer-to-peer, you know, like Facebook and so on. You know, or sharing information or videos or music, and that takes up a, you know, a good chunk. You have, you know, what traditionally is the World Wide Web, and it's, you know, it's sliding down. You know, it's going down, and how much use is actually that? It's more direct person-to-person kind of thing and social networks and so on that use the internet differently. So then you have, you know, before in the beginning, like in 95, a lot of it was email. A lot of us activists, you know, you had news groups and so on, and also what was called FTP sites. FTP is File Transfer Protocol or whatever. It's like when you have a email account and it only allows you to send, you know, 5 meg, and then it goes up 10, and it might even be 20, you know, meg files. Because the larger the file, of course, the longer it takes to transfer, and then, you know, it could be, they don't want you transferring movies, you know, over the internet. It just takes up too much bandwidth for that particular internet service provider, that ISP. So there's limitations on the net and how much you can transfer. Well, file transfer protocols, FTP sites, are the ability to transfer large files on directly onto someone else's server. And in fact, that's really what a lot the internet was. It was being able to take these enormous files of research and DARPA and the Department of Defense and universities and all this kind of stuff and put it on to another. And they put it onto a server so that they could see the same files. I mean, that was the whole purpose of the internet back when the Department of Defense, you know, created this thing. be able to transfer files and communicate in case there were disruptions in communication due to a nuclear war. Well, the way the internet is set up, it just sees censorship as a break in communications and just routes around it. So it's very difficult to try and, you know, shut it down. But they're trying. They need internet too. Well, this is the use of the internet and the transfer of information has gone in a lot of different ways. Like, you know, I have two cards that allow me to access the internet through Verizon. You know, of course, you eventually wind up on copper wires and fiber optics and so on, but you bypass a lot of different. So what's happening? Verizon and Google are getting out saying, hey, man, we can be our own internet. We could have our own level. Well, then you have people come out, no, net neutrality. You can't be, you know, faster, better than everybody. You got to be down here. And I'm not, you know, so we're going to get some. I've been trying to get from Electronic Freedom Foundation to come on and talk to us about this, you know, because I'm trying to understand this net neutrality thing. We had Declan McCullough on. He's from CNET, and he used to have it was Polytech. It was a blog back in the 90s and early 2000s, and he got bought out by CNET that then got bought out by CBS. So railing against the man, he became the man. Didn't take very long. And so Declan, you know, and I have friends, and, you know, he's always supplied me with good information. But, you know, there's another gentleman, Stu Krohn, I'll have him on, and he's going to be telling us about the problems with security and how your information is getting out everywhere, all over the place, and the new ways that they're being able to skim it. Because, you know, if you think that your computer is not just, you know, being ravaged any way anybody wants, you think mine's not? Freedom's Phoenix servers aren't? Please. So this is, you know, there's a change. The change is how it's being used. The big bad guys are so monolithic, they can't keep up with the change in the use of the data, how it's sent, how it's received, in what format. They're trying, and they have a lot of surveillance. Now, what they're doing now is they're creating all these fusion centers that we've been talking about. Now, of course, they have working its way through the Senate. It's an internet kill switch. Bill moves closer to a Senate vote so that they can turn off the internet. Why? I don't know. We'll give it a shot when we come back. We'll see how they're going to do it and from where when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
There'll be a light somewhere. You know, we just got to look for it. You know, I'm gonna keep looking. You know, that's one of the things I do. I'm looking for the light. You know, because, you know, you just go crazy if you don't. You know, I'm just, you know, there's all kinds of cool stuff. You know, making better mouse traps and such. You know, like the science of a sparkling shave. A German company hopes the synthetic diamond material engineered at the nanoscale becomes a shaver's best friend. It's a carbide blade like normally, and they put a diamond film on it, and then they use this, you know, ion gas, blah, 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 makes it sharp at the point, lasts forever. Well, at least, you know, a year or two. So imagine that. You know, you get a nice, a sharp diamond blade that lasts a long time. My life just got better. So I'm like, yeah, cool. You know, especially if you got teenager. I had teenager. You know, my razors disappear. I buy them in a big giant dozen pack or something. And man, I never got through two of them before they were all gone. And nobody in the house would admit taking them. Yeah, they just walked into my kid's bathroom. Well, now they're gone. My blades last a long time. But, you know, I got that to look forward to. I'm like, yay, new batteries for cheap electric vehicles. You know, starts a new company to commercialize the technology. A new startup company will attempt to solve the biggest roadblock facing electric vehicles today, the cost of their batteries. A new company called 24M has been spun out of the Advanced Battery Company. It will develop a novel type type of battery based on research conducted by blah, 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 Yetming Chang, a professor of materials science at MIT, founder of the company. He says the battery design has potential to cut those costs by 85%. Battery pack alone in many electric vehicles start at cost of over $10,000. Cutting this figure can, you know, like drastically reduce. So these, you know, I keep an eye on this kind of stuff. Yeah, you know, and my friend Bob Anderson, you know, he says, he goes, yeah, until I can buy it, it don't exist. Yeah, truth. But, you know, you see a lot of this stuff coming. You know, maybe we might even have an economy we can buy it. So I'm looking at, you know, there's so much stuff, you know, we'll go over a little bit more today, but I'm really concerned about this internet kill switch thing. An internet kill switch bill, now this is from Prison Planet, an internet kill switch bill that would give President Obama the power to shut down parts of the World Wide Web for a period of at least 4 months without, 4 months without congressional oversight. It's like declaring, you know, War Powers Act or something on us. Yay. Without congressional oversight, has moved closer to a Senate vote with one of its primary advocates, Democratic co-chairman of the House Cybersecurity Caucus, Jim Langevin, whoever that is, threatening a cyber 9/11 if the legislation is not quickly passed. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, oh, he raises his little ugly little head, is now trying to merge two cybersecurity bills, one sponsored by Senator Joe Lieberman and another sponsored by Democrat Jay Rockefeller, in preparation for a final vote when the Senate returns to session in early September. Lieberman and Rockefeller are perhaps the two very worst people in government to be crafting legislation to regulate the internet, as they are both on record as advocating a completely state-controlled World Wide Web or seeing the internet shut down for good. Yep. You know, you think this isn't going to be a goal? You know, they'll ask for the planet, and they go, okay, we'll give you a little bitty kind of sort of almost cut off under extreme. It's going to march towards this. That's a given. So, of course, they put the big bad guys out there to ask for everything, and then, you know, it acts like, you know, we were good guys because we were victorious because we didn't allow them to pass it as bad as what they wanted. Which is why I was talking to Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America last week, and when I was back in Pennsylvania, and I was doing interviews with him and such, and he was saying that the NRA is looking to endorse Harry Reid for U.S. Senate in Nevada. Well, he's known to be big anti-gun. Well, the rank and file just freaked out. But, you know, that's how the NRA works. I got all kinds of NRA stories. Well, of course, GOA was endorsing one of his competitors. And I'm, you know, based on what? I mean, they're all got their own problems. But, I mean, Harry Reid, seriously? So this is – we are in the end game here. There is some major, major, major going on. It's whether they think they can get away with it or not. And I'm building up to, you know, something else I wanted to share with you, but you could see how bad it is. The natives are getting restless. You know, they're getting outed. There's, you know, the economy is going to take an enormously bigger hit. It hasn't even started yet. This was just the beginning. And here we have Geithner going on how we're going to deal with the home prices and such. When they have all this, say, oh, it's only $180-something billion that we're out as taxpayers for Freddie and Fannie. Really? They made up, what, 80% of the mortgage market, and now it's all underwater, and they have, you know, like $11 trillion worth of mortgage. I mean, heck, if it just went down in half, you know, you're looking at a lot of money. And it's still going down. It can't not. So what do we have on yesterday? You know, these animators for this movie called SilverCircleMovie.com. Silver Circle. And it takes place in 2019. And what are they up against? A Federal Reserve that has taken the homes away from the market and just sitting on them and hold them or bulldozing them or blowing them up or whatever. Hold them off the market just like they're trying to control money supply. Yeah, housing is, you know, just another asset, a value. And, you know, and he goes, yeah, we didn't want to give them ideas, but, you know, I'm going, ideas, that's what they're doing now. What do you think all this shadow inventory stuff is for banks that are not putting. And I talked to some, who was it? They were saying that they were being threatened with audit if they put these homes, they started foreclosing and putting them up for sale. Okay, yeah, you go ahead. Want an audit? They didn't want them to hit the market. You know, not until when. You know, one, certainly until the next fiscal year, which started in July. So they started opening up. You know, I know my son and daughter-in-law, you know, buying a home. That was $250,000 a couple years ago. They now got it for $85,000. Yep, or 89 or whatever. It was 80, mid-80 something. You know, $85,000, three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage, you know, nice little home. Yep, $85,000. $250,000+, you know, a few years ago. And I say it's still going to go down. But they're going to get $700 a month payment, so they think they're living large. So we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, they only go so bad, but I mean, this is going to get a lot worse. So they need to have control of several things. One, the internet. Too much information's getting out. More people, you know, there was another story that showed, I think we had on Freedom's Phoenix, showing that, let me see if I can find it, that over half of the people under 50 are getting their information from the internet. That's scary, man. You know, of course, the older people watching Fox News, but, you know, You know, it's getting, you know, it's like I always said when I was younger. I was going, look, man, I see where this goes. We just have to wait for this generation that thinks it's okay to steal from the next generation to die off. You know, they're going to be in a revolution on which side? You know, you dang youngins, you owe us? Seriously? You know, and you think the young people are going to go advocate for what? You know, let's go save what? The people that are enslaving them? You know, this is, I deal with these people on a regular basis, and I'm telling you, it's not going to work. Then they distract you with other things. Israel has 8 days to hit Iran nuclear site, says Bolton. Israel has 8 days to launch a military strike against Iran's Bushehr nuclear facility and stop Tehran from acquiring a functioning atomic plant, a former U.S. envoy to the UN has said. Iran is to bring online its first nuclear power reactor, built with Russia's help on August 21st, when a shipment of nuclear fuel will be loaded into the plant's core. At that point, John Bolton warned Monday, it will be too late for Israel to launch a military strike against the facility because any attack would spread radiation and affect Iranian civilians. Like he cares. Once that uranium, once those fuel rods are very close to the reactor, certainly once they're in the reactor, attacking it means release radiation, no question about it. So if Israel is going to do anything against Bushehr, it has to move in the next 8 days. Absent an Israeli strike, Bolton said, Iran will achieve something that no other opponent of Israel, no other enemy of the United States and the Middle East really has, and that is a functioning nuclear reactor. I don't know, what the heck is Pakistan, you know? Which is about ready to fall, you know, FYI. So I'm going, you know, this is wars and threat of wars and, you know, control of the internet information, making you silent, having to have, you know, this Mexican drug blogger that's the only news source for what's going on when 28,000 people are being slaughtered in this drug war down there. It's going raging right now on the border with Arizona. And they go, oh, we got to have immigration reform. It does nothing on the border. When they got gun battles on the border, across the border, not a damn word about it. And I'm like, this is your border solution? You know, wake up, man. You know, I'm here. I'm right freaking here. I know the people doing it. I know their motivations. And you're what? And did you even read the bill? Do you even know what it says? Do you know what the judge took out? Do you know what the judge allowed? The only thing left is the national ID. How many out there of you that didn't read it just screaming for this? Yeah, yeehaw, America, MK. How much am I supposed to have sympathy for your opinions when you don't even read? You have no idea what the hell you're talking about. None. Do you know the people? Did you read the bill? Do you know what was the machinations that was going on down at the Capitol with the media? You know what Arpaio and Andrew Thomas and running for attorney general is doing up against a Democrat, you know, Terry Goddard and his history and all that. It's what the Barry Hess calls. He goes, you know, you keep electing the same people all the time. You know, it's this incestuous gene pool of politics. We're going to have to change the state anthem to dueling banjos. I like that. It's a good line. So I'm going, okay. You know, that's, and then it's just, you know, more and more corruption. They try and hide stuff and it keeps coming out. Terrorist tapes found under CIA desk. The CIA has tapes of 9/11 plotter Ramzi Bendel Dibidjah, what's his name, being interrogated in a secret overseas prison. Discovered under a desk. The recordings could provide an unparalleled look at how foreign governments aided the U.S. in holding and questioning suspected terrorist. I remember when they denied that this kind of thing even existed or went on. Then when it came out, people making excuses for them. Yeah, absolutely, you should be able to ship people off. Then it gets to where, you know, well, you're an enemy combatant, you lose your citizenship, you don't have any rights, as if, you know, it had anything to do with citizenship, have human rights anyway. And you go, I mean, I see the progression. You know, it's one thing after another. And just as they were screaming for an immigration bill that they never read, had no idea what it really did and what actually was left of the bill when they get done all the national ID stuff, you know, on each one of these stages to enslave you, to allow a president, first, I guess it's okay, Bush, well, now you got Obama, to say, that American citizen, go kill him, I got a good reason. What reason? It doesn't matter. It's whatever I say it is. Oh, and by the way, I don't got to tell anybody anyway. Okay. Let's go ahead and the Gulf oil well. Final Gulf oil well kill plan on hold amid pressure fears. You know, they're trying to give the impression it's done. It's not. It's still leaking. And they're afraid the whole dang thing may blow out. So they're, you know, they're still worried about how they're, you know, it's not done yet. Okay, we'll see what happens. And it'll be a big story later. Hey, man, this isn't done. But there's people out there, you know, expressing their opinion in such a way as this. MSU senior charged in case, also arrested last year at a protest. What happened was two of the protesters allegedly involved in hitting Senator Carl Levin with a pie Monday were arrested last year while protesting U.S. war policy at the senator's office in Lansing, Michigan. One protester was arrested and faces arraignment today on a felony charge of stalking, as well as misdemeanor counts of assault and disorderly conduct. Big Rapids police said she is accused of throwing the apple pie at Levin after her friend Max Kantar made a lengthy statement at a public event at Pepper's Cafe and Deli in downtown Big Rapids. So it's campaign season. And these guys, you know, I'm on the campaign trail, or at least I used to be quite a bit. And I'll tell you, the security is like none. And if you really want to get out, even presidential candidates going around, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a joke to think that you could, you know, kind of hold off any kind of real. It's amazing that there's as few of this kind of thing going on as there is. You know, so I don't see it as a solution anyway. You know, it just gives them more excuses to do stupid stuff. So I just, you know, let, you know, a pie in the face, you know, I can live with it, you know, whatever. So then we have, you go to LouRockwell.com. Lou Rockwell has, you know, a ton of stuff. So we'll get a bunch of stuff up there today from them. Average age of viewers hits 50 as more turn to web. Given a diet of U.S. imports, this is by Ravi Somaiya from The Guardian. I guess that's, you know, UK paper, and this is on Lou Rockwell. Given a diet of U.S. imports such as Gossip Girl, Friends, and Lost, you'd be forgiven for thinking that most American television viewers were about 20. But figures this week have revealed that the average age of those watching TV in the U.S. has tipped 50 for the first time. A study of the Big Five broadcast networks from research firm Magna Global shows that the average viewer no longer falls within the coveted 18 to 49 demographic, so sought after by advertisers. The median age of the population in the U.S. is 38. For 2007 and 8 season, CBS attracted an average age of 54, ABC 50, NBC 49, Fox 44. It's over! Lamestream media, the media that's so last century, has lost its audience. Where do you get your news?
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you.
Yeah, let's break free from the lies, 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 and the lamestream media, media so last century. And it's starting to, you know, this is stuff that we knew anyway. I mean, you know, this is, you know, that's why I just, starting in the 06, when we're running for office, running for statewide office, and so was Barry Hass and so on. Whenever the press calls, we go, that we don't talk to Arizona Republic. That we don't talk to you. Yeah, we don't talk to you. Anybody, any organization that in the past election had lied or distorted, yeah, we don't talk to you. Oh, well, we got, you know, we buy ink by the barrel. You got, no. No. And Barry had a good line for him. Every time they'd call, he goes, yeah, how does it feel that, you know, one, you wouldn't print the story, and now you can't get it? Because we were able to communicate with Freedom's Phoenix and our own websites, and so when people would go to, you know, if they really cared about that race, they'd go see who's on the ballot, certainly after the primary. Okay, these guys will go look, and we put our stuff on the internet, on our campaign pages. Look, this is what they're not telling you. Here's the YouTube. You know, here's the actual us talking about the issue. Here's my opponent. Here's, you know, I mean, you know, you're not going to get this from them. You know, so it's they're done. Done. Why do you think they have government licensing? You know, so they can have the right people be able to do it and the wrong people can't. Well, the internet changed that. And they are freaking, they must get control of it. The youngest show on CBS was Big Brother, average age of 45. While the oldest was News and Investigation flagship 60 Minutes, average age 60. ABC varied from UK import Super Nanny, 41, to police drama Woman's Murder Club, average age 57. Fox swung from Family Guy and American Dad, 29. These are animated things that are, you know, amazingly interesting. To legal drama Canterbury's Law and CW, I think that's, you know, network. It's a youth-oriented kind of network, Warner Brother thing or something. From teen drama One Tree Hill, average age of 26, to family drama Life is Wild, 45. NBC's youngest viewing show was Scrubs, 34, and its oldest was detective show Monk at 58. It doesn't take a detective to deduce that older viewers like crime dramas, which goes some way to explain the success of Monk, an obsessive compulsive sleuth in San Francisco. The show has consistently pulled in high viewing figures, both on ABC where it originated and now on cable network USA, without either being a huge critical success or generating much buzz. That its average viewer is 58, making it the oldest skewed non-news show out there, may go some way towards explaining the success of a show that got almost no press and never set internet chat rooms ablaze because it is for the older crowd. Now, the cable news networks, okay, check this out, vary more widely. Ultra-conservative Fox News maintains a median age of, now think about it, okay? We're out there in the politic. You got the Lovelution, Ron Paul. He's 74 years old. You know, where's he getting most of his buzz? You know, the youth and young, so on. And they'll go up to these young guys and say, well, you got to get on the Newton, this and that, and so on, so that Wolf Blitzer, CNN, and, you know, Bill O'Reilly and Fox, this, and, you know, Sean Hannity, and they, you know, and these young people are like, who? And we don't, you know, who you're talking about. We don't care. And they may know, they just don't care. They just don't care. Fox News maintains a median average age of 65 across primetime and daytime programming. Heck, the Golf Channel and other networks and TV movie, you know, they're younger. Fox News, 65. Who are they appealing to? Why? Why that market? I don't know. We'll talk about it.